Right, everyone, welcome to my session this afternoon. We'll try and get this through pretty quickly because I know you want to get down to your drinks. Today we're going to talk about identity management in Office 365, which one's right for you. My name's Brendan Ross. I'm a solution advisor at Datacom. Well, it's a fancy title for being a consultant. I've been working with Office 365 for 4 years. I actually started with its predecessor, BPOS, and I also specialize in Azure infrastructure. So today we're going to talk about, one too many slides. So today's key message really about identity in Office 365, and when I talk about identity in 365, this also applies if you're looking at Azure or you're wanting to start adopting things in Azure later on, because 365 uses Azure Active Directory, and so you can expand that across both 365 and Azure. But the key message is start simple. There's no need to rush to a full federated model or even a synchronized model. Start, you know, with a really simple model, get to understand 365, get to understand how identity works. You can always move through the models, and I'll explain how we can do that later on. So a couple of things we're going to cover in today's session, the agenda here. So I'm going to go through the three different types of models. So we've got a cloud identity model, synchronized identity model, and the federated identity model. And I'll give you some tips and tricks if you're looking for those and what you can do using those models. And I've based those on some scenarios around a new drink called Giga that's hit the market, and how there's some different companies that are selling and distributing the Giga drink, and how they're using the different models for their businesses. And then we'll talk about some new features that have come out. So scenario one is a company that has some small supermarkets around the country. They've got three stores and 8 email accounts. They have no on-premise servers. So this is your kind of typical very small business in New Zealand. It's kind of also typical maybe of a small business that has a small business server. Maybe they're running a 2003, 2008 small business. Cloud identity is good for them. They can create user accounts in Office in the 365 portal. Your authentication takes place in 365. So you go to the 365 portal, you type in your email address and your password, and Azure AD is doing the authentication, and they can access 365 services. It also includes self-service password reset. So that's now a feature available on all 365 SKUs. So users, you don't need to do it for them. You know, it takes a lot of load off admin. Great, again, for a small business who may not have IT support. So that's a really good use for a cloud identity model. It's also very useful if you're doing a pilot. So if you just want to get an understand and just maybe see how 365 could work for you, start with a cloud identity model. Create a couple of accounts in the portal, in the web page, and start using it. Some tips and tricks. So as I say, a great way to pilot 365. You can still use your own domain name. So when you sign up for 365 for the first time, you need to create a unique company name and then .onmicrosoft.com. So it might be contoso.nz.onmicrosoft.com. You can then go add your domain name and start using, you know, your email address or your domain name. So you can do that. And a trial has 25 accounts. You get 30 days, you can extend that in the portal. Of course, if you run the session here previously, if you've been to some of the other sessions, you know that you can now get Windows 10 to join Azure Active Directory. So once you've created those accounts, even just through the portal, you can get a Windows 10 machine to join Active Directory. And there's a URL there about how you can do that. And you can get a bit of control and management. So if you do have a small business server, you don't necessarily want to have to synchronize accounts. You could just use the cloud identity model and get that management controlled and that authentication through Azure AD that you might have done previously with an on-prem AD server. And also Windows 10 gives you a very close to a single sign-on experience that we haven't had before. Maybe you're restructuring your AD, so if you're maybe merging some domains together, you've bought another business, maybe you don't have it very well structured to move to a synchronized model, you've got users in lots of different OUs, then start with the cloud identity first, and then you can introduce a synchronized model later on. You can import a list of users, so you don't have to sit there and create 30 or 40 users one at a time. You can create a CSV with all the details you need and just import that in, so you can make it quick. And it supports third-party migration tools. So if you're using something like Skykick or some of the other third-party tools, or maybe you're doing a manual migration, maybe you're just importing some PSTs, then it certainly works that way well. And if you do have an on-premise server, although we talk about in the synchronized model, doing synchronized if you have on-prem doesn't mean you have to. You can still have users created in the cloud and on-prem. Of course, they have different login names and different passwords, so there's a bit of admin there, but it doesn't mean that you have to do it. So in our second scenario, we're talking about our logistics company, Bing. They distribute the new GigaDrink. They're a bit larger organization, so they've got 3 distribution centers, 42 staff members, and 6 on-premise servers, and they want staff to have to use their same sign-in name and password as they use to log on to a PC. So there's a clear distinction between a federated identity, where we talk about single sign-on, and a synchronized identity, where we talk about same sign-on, so using the same credentials, but I'll be prompted every time I want to access a 365 service. This is typical of your kind of medium-sized business in New Zealand. And so how does that work? Well, we run AD Connect or Azure Active Directory Sync, and we synchronize the accounts from our on-premise AD account, AD server, into Windows Azure. Passwords are transmitted. Now, we don't transmit the password itself. We take the password and we do a hash on it. You know, it's a mathematical algorithm. It's quite hard to reverse. And that produces a digest. The digest is further processed with an SHA-256 encryption, and then it's transmitted to Azure using SSL. So it's very secure. So we're not storing the password, we're storing a digest of it. We're still authenticating in Office 365, but we can't manage the accounts now in Office 365. I'll show you that later on in the demo. If you go into 365 and try and change display name for a user, it'll tell you you can't do that. We have to do it on-prem, and then wait for it to synchronize up to 365. Now, once we have those accounts in Azure AD, we can use them for other third-party services. So lo and behold, you can use them for Google Docs, Dropbox, Citrix, GoToMeeting, Salesforce, and your own custom apps. So say if you want to start expanding and doing more things in Azure, then you can use these accounts that you've now synchronized up to access those applications. So tips and tricks. As I say, use AD Connect. You can deploy in just 4 clicks and get synchronization going, or you can do fully customized options, and I'll do a demo on that for you a little bit later on. You can still use some of the other tools. So if you go to the 365 portal and you go through the process about how to do DirSync, it will give you a link to download the DirSync tool. But I wouldn't use it, it's old. The new AD Connect's much easier to use, much more reliable, more features. But it is still supported. You must maintain an Exchange server. So if you had Exchange on site before, and you've now done DirSync, and you're going to migrate your mailboxes, we need a way to edit the email attributes. We can't do that inside Azure users and computers. We can only do that with an Exchange console. There are other third-party tools that you can do that. You can use ADSI Edit, but that's obviously playing with danger. You can have reverse syncing from Azure AD back to on-prem, but we need the Azure AD premium subscription. It's around about $7 a user a month for that. We need that because if we change the password in 365, it's going to get overwritten in the next synchronization cycle as we do another sync. And with Azure AD Premium, you can do the self-service password reset, again, because that password can now get synchronized back to our local AD when it gets changed. Otherwise, as I said, it would get overwritten. Now, one trick, if you're going to do a third-party migration tool, is not to migrate the MS Exchange Mailbox GUID. If you have migrated that, synchronized that to 365, what you're telling 365, well, what it's preventing you from doing is creating a mailbox. You'll sign a subscription to a user, but it won't create the mailbox. Because that's assumed you're going to use the migration tools that are in Office 365. to do the migration, and it's going to create the mailbox automatically, or if you're doing a hybrid one, it's going to move it from your on-prem Exchange to 365. So we don't want to migrate that. If you've already done it, you need to run a PowerShell command to null it out of the Azure AD. And then you can use something like SkyKick, or so you maybe use a manual process. You want to create the mailbox, maybe you just want a blank mailbox. Maybe you want to import some, do some PST files. You want to export only a couple of weeks of email and import that in. So that's a little trick. A couple other things. So when you do migration and you're using synchronized, because we want to maintain those email attributes on-prem, we want to convert the mailbox to a mail-enabled user. We don't want to delete it, because we know when we delete a mailbox in Exchange, it's going to delete the AD account. So it's not going to end well. And we don't want to disconnect it. We want to do a conversion to a mail-enabled user, and then we can clean up the mailbox and purge it. You can then obviously go into your Exchange console, and you'll see the user now, rather than as a mailbox, it'll be a contact. So mail-enabled contact, mail-enabled user. Actually, before I move on, a couple of other things as well. The user UPN name for logins, the user principal name. So obviously in AD, you might have set up your Active Directory, it might be contoso.local. That's not a publicly routable domain. There is no high-level domain called local. You can't get to that over the internet. So we've got to use your company domain, your internet domain. And so all your users need to use that, so you need to set that up in AD. That's what they're going to use to log on to 365. It's what they're going to use to log on to all cloud services. So you should start getting users to use that when they log on to the PC. So they might be using their shortnet BIOS name, your sort of pre-2000 NT4 type name. They should now really start be using their email address or whatever you set their UPN is. And then it's a consistent experience as to whether they're logging on locally or they're logging on into the cloud. It's the same username for them. To do that. Right, so as I said, I'll do a demonstration on deep dive. So if you want to learn a bit more about 365, a bit more behind the scenes stuff, there's a session on tomorrow, A Peek Inside the Sausage Factory, which sounds very interesting to attend. So I'm going to do a demo about setting up the synchronized identity using AD Connect. AD Connect, as I said, has two install modes, Custom and Express. The Custom option gives you the more advanced options. You can synchronize multiple forests or domains. So if you've got two different forests or multiple domains, or maybe you just purchased a company and you want them both in a 365 in a single tenant, the advanced option will let you do that. If you're running LDAP 3, and soon you'll be able to synchronize from SQL. You can deploy a pilot group of users, so you can add some users to an AD group and just have them set up as a pilot. You can do the single sign-on using Federation, so to go through and set that up. So previously, without AD Connect, you had to do a number of prerequisites yourself. That was quite a long, complicated process to do. It's now all sort of wizard-driven, and you can just go and tick all the relevant options, answer the relevant questions, and it will do a lot of that work for you, which is why you really need to start using AD Connect. You can configure the AD Prem features,